Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain.
Whoa, hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Oh, last minute internet computer problems, same as always, nothing different.
Yeah.
You know.
We're not too late tonight. We are 5 minutes past 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm here on the beautiful American Southeast, and JD, you're coming to us from the Midwest, just outside of Chicago. We're happy to be with everybody. I'm sure some of you guys are watching Raw instead of us. And for those of you watching Raw instead of us, just know that I hate you.
Nerds.
I hate you. I hate your family. I'm just kidding. I don't hate you. I think there's a lot of people watching Raw. But hey, look, man, I can't. I have determined that I'm just not going to try to podcast past 11 p.m. I just can't. I can't do it.
No, I'm with you. Like, I did that for years on this show, and there would be times I would be struggling to stay awake. So,
brother, struggling to stay awake, motherfucker, you fell asleep live on the air, like in mid sentence one time, a couple of times actually. A
couple times. I was telling Rich about that when I was on the Patreon. He'd be like, "How'd you guys do that?" I'd be like, "Well, I tried to accommodate Mike. We had the most undesirable schedules ever, and there was one time I fell asleep mid sentence."
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not so much like I'm 42 now, and I think you're a couple years older than me.
45.
And, yeah, and I just decided that if I do this podcast and it's going to take me out the whole next day, it's just I can't. There's just no way. But I could stay up till like 11:30, wake up at 5, and I should be fine. You there, JD? You cut out for a second.
I'm going phone. I'll be back.
All right. JD will be right back. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I got a chance to check out Wrestle Dream over the weekend. It was a good show, actually. It was a really good show. They had a little over 6,000 people there. At one point in time, it looked like they weren't going to get past 4 or 5, but they had a late surge. I'm sure that they hooked up WrestleTix. They had some more sponsors. They probably did some giveaways, did some BOGOs, just hit the ground. They made sure that they got enough people into that building and where it looked really good on television. So good for them. I think there was a lot of people on watch making sure that they beat Bound for Glory, because they're in this imaginary competition, which I'm probably a part of. I think I'm one of the guys like stoking the flames on that one. Bound for Glory, though, it come out. WrestleTix did their final count. They were a little over 7,000, and Wrestle Dream was a little over 6,000. I don't have the final numbers in front of me. That's the count for the two shows. So pretty close. Bound for Glory edges them out by about 1,000. Now, I will say I am really skeptical that they had 7,800 in the building for Bound for Glory. In fact, WrestleTix says they only sold is a strong word, distributed a little over 7,000. I get the feeling that about 10 to 15% of those were comps, which that's not even a bad thing. Like, I don't think that's a big deal at all. I think that for TNA, that's pretty smart. Just, you got to get people in the building and you got to get your eyes, your product in front of as many eyes as possible. And I'm willing to bet that if we looked at the books, that Wrestle Dream did something similar. They just didn't get more people than Bound for Glory. I think TNA was just determined to get a shit ton of people into that building. And they did. They did a great job. And then Wrestle Dream did a good job of getting people. Now, keep in mind, they have about 100 times the budget of a TNA. So I think that's where, TNA fans can hang their hats. Like, look, TNA doesn't have any money, and yet they're still pulling shows like this. And then AEW fans will be like, well, they are, it's all WWE, it's not TNA. Well, actually, it's a little bit of both, but I think a lot of it has to do with the Hardy Boys, which is why they did so many, they distributed so many tickets to Bound for Glory. Oh, let me see. There. Okay, JD's back. So, JD, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run down the Wrestle Dream card. Joe and Rich already reviewed it, and I'm sure a lot of people have already heard Dave and Brian review it, and all the other reviews were a couple days behind. But I'm gonna go over the card real quick, and then there's some controversy, believe it or not, surrounding Wrestle Dream. Yeah, surrounding a Wrestle Dream. So, all right, match number one: Death Riders, Claudio, Daniel Garcia, Pac, and Wheeler defeated Roderick Strong and the Conglomeration. Did you see the Conglomeration's new music video?
The little like 90210-esque intro piece. I did.
It's Wrestle House.
It's 100% Wrestle House.
Artie Evans works there. Now I can't sit here and tell you I know who produced the music video. It could have been RJ City or somebody, but as soon as I watched it, I was like, it's Wrestle House. They, of all the things to take from TNA, they took Wrestle House. And they even presented Tomohiro Ishii as Big Tom. And Wrestle House had Big Tom, too. They had Big Tummy Dreamer on Wrestle House. So
the one thing I'll say for the Conglomeration is it's just an intro video. It's just their,
yeah,
like, well, no, it's not like an actual skit on the show.
Right.
So, I mean.
But I'm trying to manifest it so I can have something to make fun of.
Please don't manifest that. Those were awful shit. Those Wrestle House, terrible.
Yeah, I actually posted the intro video to Wrestle House on Twitter, and I said, look, if you guys think you can get to me, just know I went to Afghanistan twice, and I used to review this shit back in the day for Fight Game Media. You can't get to me. I've been through some shit.
I have never been to Afghanistan, but I, too, reviewed Wrestle House. And it's so funny. Like, we talked back in the day. We talked about, that's how the show actually got together. It was actually Kenny Omega showing up on Impact, right? And I will still maintain, because they had a ton of viewers for those Impacts when Kenny first showed up. And they were greeted to some really bad pro wrestling, including Wrestle House. And I'm pretty sure that is one reason why a lot of AEW fans did not come back. Of course, that was a different kind of AEW fan back in 2021. Now we like shit. Now we like garbage. We like Max's varieties of ice cream and...
Yeah. Anyway, Death Riders won. Eddie Kingston and Hook defeated the Frat House, whoever the fuck that is. Harley Cameron and Willow Nightingale defeated the Top Gods, Penelope Ford and Megan Bain.
Just like Harley and Ivy. I appreciated that.
Hey, Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, don't they have something very unique in common?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Jelly Nutella, as Jim Cornette would call him, Joey.
Yeah.
Okay, so right. Joey, and then I'm Rob from Rob. Oh God, what's his last name? He's the guy from he does the Figure Four Online stuff. Rob, funny guy. I just can't remember his last. Wanska, something like that.
Yeah, Wanska.
Yeah. He said that Penelope Ford, Megan Bain, and Brandi Loren should start a faction in AEW, and. Because I made a comment about Brandi Loren. I was like, where has she been? I was like, did she really get murdered by Sue Young? Because they had the whole skit in TNA back in the day. And then I was just like, what? I was like, why would they do that? So he DM'd me. He goes, you don't know? And I was like, I started thinking, I was like, oh, Joey Janela. And it's like, so now I think what we need to do, we need to talk to Dave, and we need to have a write-in section for the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. And I think I'm going to write in Joey Janela just for the conquests.
The greatest ass pullers of all time. I think you got to put CM Punk up there, right? His body count list is impressive. But I get Punk. I don't get Joey Janela in the slightest.
He must have family money or something. There's something going on with that
guy. There's something. Like that guy's...
He's packing something.
I know. That guy's list, like you look at the dude, you're kind of like... Then you look at like his capabilities, and I have to give credit where it's due, man. Like... Banger after banger, if you so to say, you know.
So we'll go to the first controversy of the night. It was FTR versus Job Speedball and Kevin Knight. Now they started the match on the pre-show, but they couldn't get it done in time, and so they bled over into the pay-per-view, and they finished the match on the pay-per-view.
That's a bad thing. I thought that was awesome. No,
that is awesome. In fact, it was so like. TNA did it last month at Victory Road. Like,
it's just great idea. Like,
and I thought it was clever then, right? Yeah. So they did it with the system in the order four. They had an impromptu match that started on the pre-show and finished, or they started a brawl on the pre-show and then it bled over into the main show, and then like they did it there. No, but I'm the only one that watched that show, so I'm the only one that knows that. I thought it was a big deal. You're gonna find this hard to believe, but Raj Giri had a problem with it.
Oh, I'm shocked to hear that.
Yeah. He said what that was, he buys the pay-per-view. He wants to see the entire match. It shouldn't start on the pre-show. And he's quite upset.
Isn't the same guy that complains about the length of the show?
Yes.
Constantly? So it's bad if they have too many matches. It's bad if they start with a match already going. It's bad. Like, I get it. Like, he just loves WWE. Why does anyone care what Raj Giri thinks anymore now that he's no longer a member of the wrestling media?
I don't care. Although I did just bring him up. I just found it. He was not the only one, but he was the only one that I can remember off the top of my head. He's probably the more famous one. But.
I mean, like, you have to accept the fact that nothing that AEW does is going to be right in the eyes of some.
Yeah.
Right. They could literally cure cancer in the middle of a match. And like, I don't know, Sarah Stock will come out and be like, "This is bad," because you know.
Oh, we're gonna get to Sarita in a little bit, because I have a whole section for just the controversies surrounding WrestleDream. All right, FTR gets the victory there, of course, because Job Speed's not winning a match. Come on, Jamie Hayter defeated Tekla, so I guess she's probably gonna be next in line for a title shot. Jurassic Express defeated the Young Bucks. In a $500,000 tag team match, really good match, by the way. Yeah. I would recommend people go. I mean, it's the Young Bucks. Like, I don't really like Lucha Suckass. I never really thought he was like that great of a wrestler, especially after he got hurt and his kicks were super slow. But I actually thought he was pretty, and he was over in this match big time. So I thought he was pretty decent in the match.
His best stuff has always been working with Jack Perry. So like, yeah. I actually think they're a better team than they are. Apart, and I think they're still doing a thing where Jack Perry is going to be heelish, where Luchasaurus is kind of going to work babyface a little bit. So I think that I don't know, there's something there. I'm willing to let it play out.
Yeah, something there. I'm glad they went back to Jurassic Express. I thought they were a good act, and like it's an AEW original act, and I'm glad they're back. Young Bucks did end up teasing a babyface turn, so I think we're going to get that. After the match, of course, there was a beatdown. A bunch of people got involved. This whole thing.
Kenny Omega got involved. Yeah.
Yeah. Hurt Syndicate in a tornado trios match defeated the Demand. So hopefully that's the blow off of that feud. This is probably the best match of the feud though.
I agree. I think that, I know it's the cool thing to do for guys in our spot to like complain about the Hurt Syndicate because they won't lose to everybody. But I mean, I don't know. I don't hate the idea of guys only wanting to put people over that are worth their time. Like, yeah. And I think that I've said for 2 years on this show that you look at Khan and Taloni, I'm like, those guys could be something.
I was an early adopter of those guys. Like I was an early believer in those guys.
Yeah. Back when they were with Brian Cage, I thought they were cool. I thought the thing that it was Swerve never quite lived up to fruition because Swerve got popular and became a babyface. So I like them and Ricochet. I think the act works pretty good actually. So
yeah,
I get MVP going, hey, we're not going to lose to just anybody. And they were working with like Jet Speed and stuff like that. So, you know, Jet Speed's there to put over other teams until Kevin Knight's ready to go on his own.
My prediction about Speedball's booking, although he's on every goddamn show, he just never wins. So, like, but I told people, like, he's going to be a guy. Everybody's going to like him. He's going to work really good matches, and he's hardly going to win. And
that's what we were. Tito Santana. Yeah.
Yes.
Post-1986.
Yeah. Tito, I mean, he might end up getting a TNT title or something like that. Like, Tito had the IC title for a while, right? So he'll probably get something like that. But, I mean, that's just his role in professional wrestling. And that's a good, like, you can make a good money in that role, by the way. That's not an insult to him.
And he is making good money doing that. Like, he's got he's got job security, and he seems pretty happy. And he's over, too. Like, it's hard to lose all the time and have the crowd still like, this guy's great, you know? And you know me, I've always been kind of harsh on Speedball. I think this tag team actually works pretty good with him. I get less of his stupid shit, and then I get to look at, I get to watch Kevin Knight do cool stuff. So I think this team's fine. I think it's fine for where they are. They'll get a big push eventually. You know, you can always tell if Tony likes you because he has you lose a lot, but you're on TV constantly.
Right. It's high energy. It's Owen Hart and Coco Beware. Yeah. It's a great
thing. Same thing.
Yeah. Really, really, really fun act. Kyle Fletcher defeated Mark Briscoe. Crowd was a little bit down for this. 24 minutes. Probably didn't need to go that long. I'll be honest, JD. Uncle Mike getting a little old. I actually fell asleep halfway through this match, and I woke up at the end. But I also was exhausted, so it's not like their fault, but just was what it was.
I really like these two. I don't think, I mean, I know I don't hate long shows. I know that's the cool thing to do is, like, we complain about long AEW shows and praise 4-hour WWE shows with two matches. Like, that's
you can think both of them suck, by the way, which is where a lot of people are at. Yeah.
People don't. Like, you're usually on one side of the fence or the other, but I don't think every match has to go 24 plus.
No.
Right.
So I watched Title Tuesday. It went head to head with NXT, right? I was like watching both, and Kyle Fletcher went like 20 minutes with fucking Kyle O'Reilly. Now, Kyle O'Reilly is a good little wrestler. Motherfucker's not a star, and he shouldn't be winning matches, and he probably shouldn't. And if you're going to put Kyle Fletcher in there with him, who is a star, he should have kicked the little shit's ass in like 7 or 8 minutes, right?
They just don't do that.
They can't help themselves.
And that's like, and to be fair, that's the appeal of going, of like talent going there, is you get to wrestle matches, right? Yeah. Boy, I mean, they're TNA, like, I had a bit, but I can get to the show about how TNA fans should feel let down that the NXT number actually dropped when they were associated. They beat AEW by more the year before on cable as opposed to network television.
No, it was the network day. It was their second episode on CW.
No.
Sorry, I don't want to let facts get in the way of your story. Okay. My bad.
Yeah, Mike, come on. We're post-truth.
Sorry, I'm ruining the bit.
Yeah, you're ruining the bit. I just want every TNA fan to hang their head in shame for letting Triple Paul down. Like, you let him down. You let Paul down. I hope you guys all feel embarrassed.
You guys should really be upset with yourselves that you only barely doubled AEW. You didn't triple AEW like they did the year before with Randy. Yeah,
and AEW this year had Max. So, I mean, like, the number was higher. We're never going to know how much higher.
Well, Max is probably at a million. I mean, we don't have the number, so we can just say whatever we want.
Whatever we want. We shouldn't say that because that's our friend. Like,
I'm not making fun of BJ. I'm making fun of, like, AEW fans. I mean, like, you just say whatever number you want, and then, like, you win.
I'm going to guess it was more than five.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to guess the number was higher than five people. But still, like, I think TNA fans should be ashamed of themselves.
How dare you, TNA fans? You need to do a better job of supporting NXT against the enemy. Yeah. Dave said that Tony Khan is TNA's enemy now. So they should do better.
Dave doesn't help with these tribal things, by the way.
He stokes the flames a little bit because nobody in TNA actually thinks that.
No, they're just happy to be like, to have more eyes on them. Like, they all, they're all a bunch of veterans who get it and who kind of like lay out of this stuff because they realize that NXT alliance is very shaky because it kind of is. Right. Like, with the second they're like WWE's bored with it, they'll move on, which would probably happen if this TV deal ever gets announced.
Yeah. Well, I got a TNA section coming up. We'll talk about that. Let's try to get through these results.
All right.
Statlander defeated Timeless Toni Storm by pinfall. Mercedes Moné defeated Mina Shirakawa. She won the ROH belt, I think. Yeah. Interim Worlds Television. Okay. She got another belt. Congratulations, Mercedes. Brodito and another banger defeated Okada and Takeshita.
I really like Brodito. I didn't think I would. They're a fun team.
Yeah, I judge them because the name is stupid.
Name is stupid.
It reeks of ruthless aggression. Like
ruthless aggression.
Rated right. RKO. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Yeah. Jericho. You remember that bullshit?
Oh god. No, I was out on that point. what it makes me think of is like Benifer.
Yes.
Those, like with those little shipping things, it makes me think of like people on Tumblr who want nothing more than Brody King and Bandito to be married. Yeah. So terrible name, but you know, fun team. I do enjoy watching.
Yeah, really great team. Hangman defeated Samoa Joe. Surprise, surprise. And then in the main event, Darby Allin defeated John Moxley in an I Quit match. Sting, old man Sting, Greybeard, Gandalf version of Sting showed up. Another classic match, but so that was Wrestle Dream. A really good pay-per-view, which I don't think there's any surprise there. Here's my question, and King of the North, I already know what your fucking answer is. He's in the chat. JD, you probably watched mostly every WCW pay-per-view, right? I'm talking pay-per-views. Yeah. Premium live events. You watched several WWE over the years. You probably watched most ECW, probably a lot of TNAs. I am the same. Is Tony Khan the greatest pay-per-view booker of all time? When it comes to just sheer quality, not success, because that he can't touch what Vince did, but like just sheer quality.
Yeah, man. As far as just putting on good shows, like I don't think Tony Khan, I don't think AEW's had a bad pay-per-view in well over a year, and a bad AEW pay-per-view is still better than like the average all-time pay-per-view, right? Like most pay-per-views are really, like if you go back and watch WWF pay-per-views from the 80s, none of them are very good. Like there's like a decent match or two on each show, but there's not a lot of great shows. Like just go back and watch them. Like watch Survivor Series. There's not a decent Survivor Series to like 1994. Like that might even, I might be making up the year on that too. Like some of the Crockett ones are good, but there's a lot of bad WWF pay-per-views over the years.
There's a lot of bad in all of them. Tony Khan, what he did, and I think King makes a good point here. He said Prime Gato is still better than him. But between AEW and TK era, Ring of Honor, wow. So here's my thing. I think what Tony did is he brought New Japan style big shows to America and tried to do that. Where in New Japan, you know, they had a couple of matches that were like comedy stuff on the undercard and on the pre-shows and stuff.
No match.
So like it's usually like the first hour of every New Japan show is pretty skippable. It's like tags, matches, and So, and then after that, like it's 6 5-star matches in a row, and Tony Khan brought that to America.
The trouble with that is that Gato never had to book week to week TV.
Yeah.
So I don't know how great. And by the way, Gato sucks right now. So I mean, like,
I haven't watched New Japan in a long time of it.
I think that it's hard. I'm almost to the point where I'm like, do I even bother watching Dynamite week to week anymore? Like, I find that I'm not enjoying watching the Dynamite TV show anymore, but the pay-per-views are always great. So I'm like, I'm knocking on the door starting to treat this like WWE, where I just ignore, and I don't watch WWE at all. I mean, for a long time, I just watched pay-per-views, especially when we had the network and it was free it was 10 bucks to watch one to two pay-per-views a month. I'm to the point now where I'm like, do I just do that with AEW? Because I don't enjoy week to week AEW, right? Like I thought the Samoa Joe Hangman thing was until I saw the main event or the title match, and I'm like, holy shit, Ops turned on, like that was great stuff.
So it was a really good match that I didn't care about, right? Which is kind of where I'm at with a lot of AEW matches, like Kyle Fletcher versus Kyle O'Reilly, a really good match that nobody fucking cares about.
I have this crazy concept. I almost wonder if Tony should give up booking Dynamite, because I don't think he's great at booking week to week television anymore. I think he's getting, this is weird, like people, Tony can't tell a story. No, I don't know if I buy that. I think he does a really good job getting pay-per-views. I think he's really good at booking, and right, the idea of booking, there's a comment I want you to pull up later.
I'm sure you want me to present that comment. We'll get to it.
The idea of booking is actually putting the shows together. And I think he's a good booker. I don't know how good a storyteller he is, especially when it comes to week-to-week TV anymore. So I almost wonder if that is something he should just, like, lean out on. Now that being said, I don't know who would take over week to week stuff.
Right. That and that's the problem. Like, yeah. Who do you get? I'm with you. I went years with never skipping a Dynamite, and here lately I kind of watch certain segments and I try to get through a full Dynamite, but if I don't, I'm like, okay. But the pay-per-views I just never miss, because the pay-per-views are can't miss. They're they're incredible. And I almost feel like I'm looking at it like I look at UFC or WWE, where I don't need the weekly show. Like UFC, I don't need to see the UFC fight nights, but the pay-per-views, like I always tried to watch a little bit of those, or at least the main event. With AEWs, the pay-per-view is so goddamn long. It's like a mini series. It's like two Scorsese movies. And you could really get your fill. You could watch it over the course of a few days, which is what I did do. So you can watch it over the course of a few days, and like you've gotten your fill of AEW for a while. You don't really need to keep up with the weekly TV show anymore. But I feel like that about, I feel the same way about TNA. If I didn't have a TNA podcast reviewing Impact every week, I certainly wouldn't be watching that show every week. I'd just be watching, they have monthly shows that I could keep up with, and YouTube clips and here and there storylines. I don't need the weekly show for any promotion right now in the US.
If AEW did like a, remember WWE Mania?
Yeah.
Back with Todd Pettengill.
Like a wraparound show.
Yeah. If they had a wraparound show like we used to have when we were kids, where I could just catch up on everything on YouTube for like 40 minutes a week, I would just do that. Because there's so much stuff on Dynamite that I just don't want to sit through. Like last week's show, I really liked the John Moxley, Darby Allin thing. Like those two have amazing chemistry. Like the prison.
Yeah.
It was very clearly like a ticket window, but they made it look great. Like I was really a big fan of that. And the rest of the show was very, I don't remember what happened. It's very forgettable.
Yeah.
So
I
think they need to rethink. I think Tony needs to rethink what his weekly TV show is and how it's done. Cause it's not working for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. But Wrestle Dream was a really fun show, but it did have some controversy. It drew criticism for his excessive runtime. So I understand. I get the people that are saying that the things are too long. What I don't get is being mad about it. Like David Penzer said, this is unacceptable to have a show this long. And I quote tweeted him and I'm like, Dave, I get it. I don't like shows being too long either. I went to go see Killers of the Flower Moon in the theater. And that was the worst mistake I've ever made in my life. Too goddamn long, right? The Irishman, way too long. I get it. It's a mini series. However, their fans are like into this stuff. They want these 5 to 6 hour shows. They love it. And if that's not you, then that's not you. Don't get mad about it. And I said the only way I would be mad about it is if I had to go live afterwards, which I did do one time, and I've vowed never to do that again because I'm sitting there getting angry during a really good triple threat match where I'm like, goddamn guys, somebody pin somebody. You guys are kicking out of every goddamn thing. Like, I get it. You can't be held down for more than 2 seconds unless you get shot. Hurry up. Right. And I was getting mad, but if you're just like, okay, you can take it or leave it. Like, why would you get upset? I just don't understand it.
Well, David Penzer even walked his comment back because maybe maybe unacceptable is the wrong word. Like, and I get it. He's a TNA soldier and you have to carry triple balls.
Well, they fired his ass, so I hope he wouldn't be a TNA soldier.
He still is. Like, he's like Jimmy. He's like their Jimmy Corderas. Like Vince McMahon could take a shit in Jimmy Corderas' mouth and he'd be like, yum, yum, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'll defend your product.
Maybe he's hoping that Mackenzie Mitchell will get fired. But unfortunately for him, Mackenzie Mitchell, outside of one racist thing she said on air, she's doing a really good job. Did you hear about that?
I did not, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like, it was their first live Impact ever. Or in years, I don't want to say ever. Yeah, the first live Impact ever. She's brand new to the company. Xia Li, she's from China, right? She's not making her debut, but she's been around for a little bit. And her name is Lei Ying Li now, and she's from Chongqing, China, right? And Mackenzie Mitchell says from Qingchong, China, Lei Ying Li, and it was like right out of a John Hughes movie in 1986.
And she did not.
And what's even worse is the TNA Twitter account queued that clip up right away, and everybody started roasting her for it, including me. So BQ on his show, every time he talks about Lei Ying Li, he always plays that clip.
It's like, terrible. Oh, terrible God. And hilarious at the same time. I don't know. If you don't, in this economy where everything is really fucking expensive, I think that they're trying to maximize your dollars. And here's the thing too. You don't got to watch. If those shows bother you, at this point, we're 6 years into AEW pay-per-views. We're going to go long.
Yeah.
Do you just want the talking point? Like, do you just want to say that these are too long of shows? Like, I don't even think that's a hot take at this point.
No, I fell asleep during Kyle Fletcher and Mark Briscoe. And I woke up at the end of it. I went to bed and I made sure that it was on, that I had it was available to me, and I watched it over the course of a couple of days. Now, would I like to get my fill start to finish in 3 hours? Yes. That's what I'm used to. That's what I prefer. There was a time where WWE was doing these 7 hour shows, and I was like, you guys are out of your fucking minds. Right now, they do these 2.5 to 3 hour shows, which is fine, but they have four matches with 30 minute intervals in between. And so like they just can't seem to get it right. The perfect for Mike Gilbert, the perfect pay-per-view is Saturday night from 8 to 11, right? It ends like 10:55, right? And then I can go live at 11. I'm only thinking about myself. I don't care about anybody else. I'm thinking about Mike here, which is pretty typical of me. And you get 7-8 matches, right? You get you get four bangers that are off the charts, and the rest of them are just pretty good. And some of them are not even 10 minutes long. Like that, for me, that's perfect, right? AEW, they got to have 12 matches, and 11 of them are 4 stars and above, and 9 of them are over 20 minutes. And I'm just like, it's too goddamn much. But I'll watch it over time, right? If I'm really interested in it.
I've probably been to 6 or 7 AEW pay-per-views, and I'll be honest with you, I have never heard someone in the crowd say this show is too long.
Yeah.
You know, like in the crowd, people are having a fucking blast. So I definitely think it's more about making the paying customer happy, like, and trying, and not some people aren't happy with the long show, but I also think those people have already made the decision that it's going to be a long, that they're not going to like the long show. Yeah. And it's become a legitimate talking point. And I hate to say that, but it is. Like you're complaining about a feature, not a bug at this point. That's right. Like saying, it's, you know, I like the Cybertruck, but it's fucking ugly and looks like a toaster oven. Like, no shit. That's what it is. Like at this point, complaining about it, it's like you're complaining about what it is, you know? That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'll never understand getting mad about it, but I do agree that they're too long, but I'm also like a 42-year-old dad. I get up early in the morning. I like to spend time with my kids and my wife. I don't have all this expendable time. I have other interests in life to where I'm not going to be completely devoted to wrestling. AEW sickos, as they like to be called, are completely devoted to pro wrestling. Like this is like a lot of their life revolves around this stuff. And so they like these pay-per-views, and Tony Khan is the type of guy, he wants to give you more than what you're paying for, right? And so if the show is too long for you, right, start it later or don't finish it. So, case in point, Bound for Glory a week ago, I knew that thing was going 4 hours, and it was on a Sunday night, and I'm like, I can't give you guys 4 hours, I'll give you three. The show started at 7, I picked it up at 8.
That's smart.
And Yeah, it went off the air at 10:55, and then I made sure to watch the first hour of the show before I recorded the podcast. That way, I could speak about it intelligently. But I can't give you four. That's it,
dude. I understand. Like, I think Tony Khan is booking to his audience. Like WWE fans, they want to see the entrance, right? Yes. They want to yeet with Jey Uso, so they do that stuff. Like, I think that you could say, I don't like this, but you're inherently like saying, well, this is what the company is. Just saying, I don't really like their presentation of the show. And that's okay. Right. But if you're going to keep complaining about it every month, you have to understand this is what it is.
Yes.
Right. I'm not going to listen and watch a WWE show and go, I just can't do these entrances. It's like, okay, then I shouldn't watch the show. Right. So, it's not for me.
Yeah. And you know what I do for the WWE shows? I can't watch them live. But if I want to say like they had some stuff that I heard was pretty good, I'll watch it on Memorex, right? As old people would say. And I will fast forward that shit and get to the parts that I do like. Or what I have been doing with WWE now. Like I heard Crown Jewel in Australia that AJ Styles and John Cena was pretty fun. It was like a just one 20-minute nostalgia finisher match where they were just doing finishers of their favorite wrestlers that they worked with in the past and use them on each other. That was it.
It was a spam finish spot fest. I thought those were bad, Mike.
Yeah, and I'll be goddamned if it didn't get really over. It did. So those two guys really like each other. They had fun and the crowd enjoyed it. So, but is it like a classic match in my eyes? No, I like seeing two guys struggle for something. Those guys are taking turns hitting their friends' finishers on each other. In fact, AJ Styles hit the fade to black. You know what I'm talking about?
The fade to black.
Kazarians. It's Dead Eye. But okay. He hits it. It's fade to black when he hits it because he's doing a tribute to Frankie Kazarian. But everybody's like, oh my God, why is he stealing Hangman's moves?
Because most wrestling fans didn't start watching wrestling until 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit legally.
All right. Well,
I forgot that Frankie called it.
Yeah, there was the length. Look, AEW, you know, you don't have to be so long. Just be girthy. Okay. Just girth is fine. All right. Enough of those jokes. Okay. They also had another backlash. Sarah Stock, who was Sarita in TNA back in the day, she worked for WWE for a long time as a coach, I think. She got in trouble there, got shit canned. So Tony Khan thought it was a great idea to bring her over. And sure enough, she left the company in April. I don't know why. I don't know if it was ever reported why. She's just no longer there. Well, during the Darby match with John Moxley, Moxley tried to murder Darby by drowning him in a fish tank. And Sarah Stock was appalled by this. And she said, you know, moms should not let their kids watch this. Keep in mind, this was at fucking 1 a.m, which is, I think, a bigger controversy. So, you know, where this guy's getting drowned. Now, hardly even the worst thing on in that match, they're using tasers on each other and shit and broken glass. But she was appalled by this fish tank drowning. Everybody's saying that she's like, you know, if somebody, a former wrestler, insults AEW, it has to be that they're trying to get in the good graces of TKO. I don't think that's the case here. I don't think that's the case with Gail Kim, right? I think that they might have an issue with AEW, but I don't think that's the case here. Everybody went apeshit on this lady, including Amanda Huber, who still works there, I think. And then they went after each other for a while, and it got really mean. I don't even want to get into half the stuff they said to each other. But what's going on with Sarah Stock lady? I'll be honest, Sarita is a complete blind spot for me. I couldn't tell you one match she was ever in.
So she made a comment about, first of all, what kind of a shitty parent would allow their child to watch Darby Allin or John Moxley try to drown Darby Allin? That's like the same kind of shitty parent that would allow their child to watch swerve stab Hangman with a syringe and watch John Moxley suffocate Brian Danielson with a bag. That's a shitty parent.
I know one parent.
She said mom. She said nothing about dads. Trying to toughen my kid up.
Let's just say I personally don't watch AEW with the kids, because AEW, in my opinion, is a little too much for my daughter, who gets squeamish really freaking easily. So we just don't do that. We don't go there with her.
My kid says WWE matches are wussy, so we watch just AEW.
Andy's my kind of guy.
Andy's got a little hardcore in him. So yeah, I mean, like, to each their own with parents. But you're right; it's not after midnight on a pay per view, right? Yeah. If you let your kid watch that stuff, you have problems. I clearly have problems. So, like, we'll leave it at that. At the same time, and Amanda Huber called her out for being in TNA and choking people with, and choking the aforementioned Taylor Wilde.
Yeah.
So that's a brace for impact lore with a belt with her boobs hanging out. And, Amanda Huber pointed it out. So I think that's the thing, too, is I think people, like, if you've ever taken part in something and complained about violence, if you've done it, you pretty much, the argument is you're a hypocrite. And I can see the argument, but I also can see, different time, different place, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Well,
quite frankly, there's more kids. Let's pretend that kids watch TNA. There is a potential of more kids watching that on an episode of Impact than on, a pay-per-view.
Well, a lot more people watch TNA than watch AEW, like in TNA's prime, like just mathematically. There's more people who are watching TV back then.
More people were. Well, it's also pay-per-view. So, I mean, like, just based on that, you're going to get, like there's so many, stops and gates between them. So I think the argument is a little moot. And I also think that those two probably don't like each other from their time working there.
Clearly.
Because it seems like, it seems like Sarah Stock is someone that has a hard time keeping a job for various reasons. There's some rumor and innuendo in the chat right now. I can't confirm nor deny.
Whoever you are, your name's just Stars. I'm not going to put that up because I've never heard that before. And I just don't know that it's true.
I've never heard that either. I didn't know Sarah Stock worked for AEW, to be quite honest with you.
I heard that she'd worked there. I don't remember her getting fired. Like, I'll be honest. I haven't seen or heard or thought about Sarah Stock. And until she did that, and maybe that's why she did it. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
I kind of agree. I'm like, you know what? Two people cannot like each other. Parents can monitor their own children. I don't appreciate the Helen Lovejoys of the world.
Yeah.
Doing the, think about the children when they're not supposed to do that. Like, I let my kid watch Halloween this weekend, the original Halloween film.
Right. But what I will say is that JD, I did a lot of stupid shit in my 20s.
Yeah, me too.
Right. And if you're going to hold me accountable, if I say that you shouldn't do that today, like, and say, well, you did it in your 20s, like, yeah, it was stupid.
So, but she didn't.
She doubled down. Yeah.
That's the thing, Mike. Yeah. And that's the issue, is that people are allowed to make mistakes when they're young and to say, yeah, man, I fucking up. I had a job, blah, blah, blah. But nobody does that. They cover their own ass and go, well, it doesn't matter, and they just pretend like it never happened. So that makes you look like a hypocrite. The problem is people who don't take accountability. I know this is crazy. People taking accountability on social media, what's that like? But especially when it comes to wrestling people, the vast majority of them refuse to take any kind of accountability for anything that they've done ever.
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw someone go, that was really fucking stupid of me? Never. Ever. None of these people ever do.
Yeah, the only guy that, like, there's two guys that really come to mind, and it's Jeff Jarrett, because he's in recovery. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, JBL, who seems to have been reflective on a lot of his life over the years. So I think it just comes with, getting close to 60. But
I think you're probably right. Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing though, is like, If you have a hard time, you keep getting fired from places, chances are there's an issue with you. And like, if someone points out your issues, you can't sit there and go, well, you're the problem, clearly not me. Like, that's the thing. It's like, and you could say, hey, Vince Russo told me I had to do that and I had bills to pay. Right? And that's
so it. Lady B, she says, I mean, my dad let me watch that Rock Foley I Quit match and I turned out okay. I think that's up for debate, but not sure. My parents let me watch ECW when I was a kid, and my therapist says I'm fine. So
my parents let me watch, my brother's favorite movie when we were little kids was RoboCop, And I quite enjoyed watching the films of the 80s growing up. Like, we were allowed to watch violent stuff. Nudity, no way. I grew up as an American in the 80s, man.
Right.
Violence was perfectly fine.
Murder and gore is okay, but you cannot look at a boob.
A single boob. My parents kicked me out of the room when they rented Basic Instinct for good reason. But when we watched RoboCop or Commando or something like that, oh, perfectly fine. Come watch this. I was actually invited. Come in, JD. Watch this pure violence. And I'm giving that to my kid too. We're watching all the
right. Movies. Yeah. So we in my house we don't like violence or like
you're
kids
a
or not.
Than Michelle.
Yeah, right. Kids. Because I'm very hardened because of that. Like, nothing. I watched Fear Street the other night. It was super gory. The Fear Street Prom Queen on Netflix. It's the fourth installment of that series. It's like number 4 of 4 as far as quality goes, but I mean, it has some good gore. It stuff like that just doesn't bother me like whatsoever. I can go around to the haunted houses like nobody scares me. It's just I've been hardened over the years.
Well, I want my kid to be like that, especially because I went to film school, right? Yeah. I want to have those conversations with my son of this is make believe. This isn't real. We talk about actors. I let him watch Halloween this weekend for the first time. He's 9, going on 10. And then we were talking about the opening tracking shot. We were talking about, you know, how, like, the tension. I said, what's scary about this movie is the tension in it. And we're actually talking about how movies are made and how fiction works. Because I think I'm personally of the mind that the way you take care of something is you demystify it. You take away the danger by explaining how the magic trick is done, right? I'm a fan of that. And you talk about that Rock Foley match. The magic trick of that is he actually hit him in the fucking head numerous times over and over again.
It's like, how do you fake that? Well, you don't.
You should mention that. Like, and it's funny because after he watched that movie, he's like, oh, it wasn't so bad. I'm like, yeah, that's right, man. These aren't so bad. You build them up in your head more. And the lesson I'm trying to impart is that what's in here is far more scary than what's reality. Yeah. Right. And I think parents should be allowed to parent and should educate, right? Not run away from things and pretend like they don't exist.
Yeah. And I think Sarah Stock was, late at night, kind of sauced up. She has no kids and she's telling parents how to parent. Probably not smart. No. We'll move off of her. I don't think that she's going to be relevant very much longer. I want to just quickly touch on Andrade. Nothing has changed with his case. It looks like WWE's got him locked in for a year. It could be challenged. Well, we did a whole Patreon episode for it over on Friday. So. But I clipped it for YouTube, so go ahead and check that out. JD, you got any new information on that?
Nope. Beast Morto should have a nice little client.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we have a TNA fan in the chat, so we'll go ahead and get to the TNA news. So TNA has taken a month-long hiatus. They will tell you that they're not taking hiatus because last week they did a After Glory special where they just talked about Bound for Glory. Well, this coming up week, they have a documentary, which actually would be pretty good. They did a good job with Slammiversary's documentary, but a documentary about Bound for Glory. And the next week, I have no idea what they're doing. And then on November 13th, they're going live from Full Sail University. So they're taking a month off, and there's rumors out there that they're trying to clear the balance sheet to possibly get themselves in position for a sale. Their last two cities of the year, it's going to be Orlando for 3 days. Where they're going to do a pay-per-view or a TNA Plus special and a month of TV. And then they're going to go to El Paso, Texas, where they did really well. I think they did like 3,000 to 4,000 a night earlier this year, where they're going to do another like Final Resolution. And they're going to do a month of TV there. So 3 nights in a row, which is a good way to save money. The TV deal appears to be ready to go. An announcement coming up soon. Looks like it's going to be CW. Night of the week up in the air. I don't know what that's going to look like, but it should be starting in 2026. So there's a lot of reasons there. Rumors abound as to why that they're doing this. I can't understand coming off of that. Bound for Glory, as far as like quality show, I wasn't a fan of it, but WrestleTix final number was over 7,000. They did a pretty good job of putting people in that building, and it's one of the biggest shows they've ever done. And for them to take a month off after that is kind of weird.
I'm skeptical on a lot of things with all this, to be quite honest with you. I understand going dark if you had a TV deal to announce and you're going to come back on the new network and stuff like that.
Agreed.
I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical on why you didn't make that big announcement at your biggest show. I'm skeptical that I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just like, I think they've allowed for enough wiggle room to make people kind of pause. Cause we've heard, we've had moments specifically with that network that have come up and things have kind of fallen through, especially because there was so much smoke around the idea of them announcing the TV show, right? At Bound for Glory, and that doesn't happen. And then it doesn't really happen. And it's been kind of publicly all, you know, been kind of quiet about it. So I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but I'm skeptical. And I think you'll probably tell me I'm wrong, but I'll disagree.
No, you're not. I think you're right to be skeptical. I think if it were absolutely done, they would have announced it. So
and this is where I'm dragging my feet mainly. And I wonder if this has to do with the fact that wrestling ratings across the board have taken a shit. Yeah. And you can say it's the new Nielsen, but the way the new Nielsen makes an already sketchy proposition of wrestling on TV look even worse of what you're going to spend. So, I don't know. I'm not saying I wouldn't, I don't know about TNA. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm still and this is not a homer of me because I have been completely skeptical of them over the years, but I've talked to enough people to where I'm fairly confident that that they're just fine tuning it and they're just not ready to announce it because they don't have all the details. Like
Court Bauer had a TV deal too that fell apart before his eyes.
WWE sabotaged that one. WWE is like making sure this one happens.
Yeah, but at the same time, like things aren't. I mean, like it's like I said, it's not as all wine and roses as we thought with Pro Wrestling. I'm not saying they're not going to get a TV deal. I'm not saying that. I think they probably are. I think maybe they don't get as great a deal as they think. Maybe they don't get as great a spot as they think. All I'm saying is if this was ready to go, I think it would have been announced. I think the fact that it hasn't been announced and they're taking this big month off should give a lot of fans reason to pause and wonder what's going on over there.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. That makes total sense to me. Historically, they wouldn't make those announcements at like the pay-per-view. They would just release it to like the Hollywood Reporter or Variety or something like that. And that's what they've done in the past. That's what WWE has done. Like they didn't like come out on a pay-per-view and say, okay, and we're coming to Netflix in January. They released it to like
the difference is people give it. Like the difference is the Hollywood Reporter and Variety would give a shit about WWE. They're not gonna about TNA.
I would agree with you, JD. If Variety wasn't the one that broke the story that TNA got onto Access back in the day, right? Like they have enough sway to be able to get on that, especially if it's CW. Like that's a big enough deal. And look, Variety is just a PR publication, right? So if you're working with CAA, which is what they are, like that's the agency that's brokering this deal, they can get them into Variety and the Hollywood Reporter, and they've covered them before, or they would, John Alba would put it in Sports Illustrated for sure.
Again, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong. I'm saying taking a month of not doing anything and to tell your hardcore fans what's going on is a tremendous question mark.
Yes. I think taking a month off of television is ungodly fucking stupid, which is why rumors are out there that they're clearing off the balance sheet, trying to get to a sale. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but there was the Lorenzo Fertitta rumors that were out there for a while. Those kind of died off. I don't know what's going on with that. So,
again, these rumors like will start blowing. I remember Vince was selling to the Saudis, like stuff gets leaked for reasons. And like, oftentimes the leaks don't really click. So, and that's just been the things with wrestlers. We thought, oh, this is going to happen here. And then it doesn't, specifically where it comes to WWE stuff. Like nobody had Raw to Netflix, right? That came out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm still confident, but if this whole thing blows up, that wouldn't shock me either, because I've been covering this company long enough to where like, I kind of almost half expect that to happen 9 times out of 10. All right. Oh, Lil Silver, let me see. He put in a couple of comments. I want to get to him. He always supports us. He says, I think it's a good thing they're taking time off so superstars can recover. Brother, they were working indies the entire time. In fact, Jody Threat just worked at Mercedes Moné last night. So they're not taking time off. No one's recovering here. They're all working indies. They're just taking other bookings.
No one at TNA is making enough money to do nothing when they're not doing anything, you know?
The only people not doing nothing are the usuals, Moose and Eddie Edwards, because they're the ones making all the money in the company. Yeah.
Not everybody else is.
Yeah. All right. Next, we've got a couple more stories, then we're going to get out of here. We're actually getting close to the time. AJ Styles confirms retirement plans for 2026. So he says 2026 is his last year. So he's doing his retirement tour. Would be cool to see him do a match in TNA. I don't know if that's going to happen, although they did let him go to Noah at one point. So that is possible, but yeah, AJ Styles 2026 retiring.
I think you'll see him in TNA at least once before it's said and done, especially with this working relationship, right? I think we need to hear get ready to fly one more time.
For sure. Chris Jericho edges closer to WWE return. So is AEW contracts expiring between November and December 2025. He's fueling rumors of a comeback. Sources indicate WWE expects him back for a retirement tour and a Hall of Fame induction in 2026. I think that's from Dave. Jericho's next cruise announcement notably lacked AEW talent. Adding to speculation, Tony Khan addressed his future vaguely while Jericho himself has left the door open. Break the walls down at Royal Rumble, right, is what we're looking at.
100%. And I think it's good because I think it was time for him to go. And Chris Jericho's smart enough to know when it's time to go. The funny part is going to be all the people that bitched about him for years are going to be like, oh my God, Chris Jericho's back at WWE. It's so amazing.
Yeah. They're deleting their tweets already, which I need to go on there and try to get some receipts just to like throw back in their face. There's a whole anti-AEW account out there called WWF Junkie. And it's like the avatar is fat Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder what that guy's like, what he's thinking, what he's going to do now. I feel bad for him.
Don't feel bad for him. He's a hypocritical piece of shit. Deserves whatever he gets. Like, fuck that guy. Like, again, it's good. So many people are going to be exposed as being, and it doesn't matter if they're exposed. No. They don't have any pride in anything. And if Twitter, 5 years ago, like what happened in Twitter actually mattered, but Elon Musk has left it such a dusk, hellish pit of despair. Like, Twitter now is all just about fucking engagement and porn bots, and like it's a nightmare. There's nothing cool on Twitter anymore. So ultimately, who really gives a fuck?
Yeah. Nakamura rumored for New Japan return amid retirement tease. Said it's being discussed as a final opponent for Hiroshi Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom on January 4th. With his WWE contract possibly expiring in 2025, Nakamura shared an emotional post after WWE's Japan tour, hinting his career might not be far. Speculation grew after his babyface return on SmackDown. A New Japan stint could allow a dream match, though WWE might retain him for a retirement arc. Some people think that he might have already re-signed and then he's staying with WWE, but WWE would allow this to happen. Then, of course, it's like New Japan's an AEW partner, so you'd have to get Tony Khan to buy off on that probably. And so that's weird. It's just a rumor at this point. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think it would be cool if that was Tanahashi's last match, although it would be nice for Tanahashi to put over one of the young guys on his way out.
A couple things. One, there's no young guy.
You're more in plugged in with New Japan than I am right now. Baby Tanahashi.
I have a buddy of ours who was pretty plugged in New Japan reach out to me and say Nakamura's in play for Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
Would be interesting if that happens.
Yeah.
Our buddy Joe Lanza said that he thinks that Tony would not be a hindrance in this because he would understand the historical significance and say, get Shinsuke Nakamura on here.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that just plays more into Tony. Tony Khan's kind of started to play the nice guy role in pro wrestling. Like, sure. Yeah, I'll give you. Sure. No problem. Okay. Like, and I think that behooves him, especially where TKO is right now. I think Shinsuke Nakamura, although he's been there a decade, has had one of the more disappointing runs, right? I thought that he would be like a great Muda level star, but I guess he kind of was like a great Muda level star because WCW really didn't do anything Muda either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can I
give you a hot take on Nakamura?
Please.
In WWE? Like,
yeah.
I think his run ruled because he did all his best stuff in New Japan and he said, fuck this, I'm getting paid. And then he just coasted and he used and abused the Fed for everything they're fucking worth. And that's a smart move. And he just surfed and had fun and loved life. Good for him.
Mike, I agree with you as far as like a talent, like as far as like a talent aspect goes, but for me as a fan,
yeah,
like it was a severe letdown of what could have been. I'm like, maybe he physically doesn't have that in him anymore.
I think it's not like case.
I think WWE also doesn't ask people to have that type of stuff. Although guys like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will pull those things out, you know, because they're the true professionals. That being said, I would love to see Shinsuke Nakamura go back to New Japan and help out a little bit, because let's be honest, they need help. This generation of young guys has been a severe disappointment. Gato refuses to pull the trigger on any of them, and I don't think any of them are kind of worth going with, to be honest with you. Nobody stands out. Everybody's been kind of a disappointment, and it's a matter of, you know, it's a chicken egg thing. Like, nobody's great, and the office won't let anyone be great.
Yeah. A couple quick hits, and then we're going to close with a funny story. Seth Rollins relinquished the World Heavyweight title. I think they might have crowned a new champion tonight. I don't know. I had Raw up in the background, so I didn't get to finish it. But he dislocated his shoulder. He's out for a little bit. And even bigger news, the Good Brothers are now joining Killer Cross and MLW. Court Bauer is stretching out that lawsuit money like you wouldn't believe.
Man, didn't we talk about the Good Brothers going to MLW like 6 months ago?
We did, and they never showed up. They never came in. And funny enough, and Gerard called them out on this, and MLW promptly blocked Gerard. They used the same video that they used 6 months ago with the same debut date in June, and they never came. But they did it again this past week, saying Good Brothers coming in June, but we're in October.
October.
They used the same fucking video, and that's Gerard awesome. Called him out on it, and they blocked his ass. So they're they're officially coming in November 20th in Charleston, South Carolina. Beautiful Charleston, South Carolina. In some bar, like, you know, Charleston Music Hall. It's in conjunction with Danny McBride. You know him, Kenny Powers, Kenny fucking Pete.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's got a tequila company that's a sponsor of the show, so they're doing a big thing for it. Yeah,
I'll say this: Court is good at finding shit like that.
Paul Walter Hauser, like that. Yeah. I mean, that's his business partner, right? And they're doing a good job.
That's, I mean, kudos.
Yeah, right? I think that show might be a Patreon episode. I'm not driving to Charleston; it's 3 hours away. So, if it was closer, I might try to go.
I'm just listening to Joe and Rich every week. I keep thinking about checking out MLW again because it's such a low commitment viewing, right? Like, they don't do the weekly stuff anymore. And I am super interested. I mean, Court stuff is either kind of cool or fucking awful, and there's like no in between on it. So right. I am curious.
Makes for good content for podcasts.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Sure does. Right. So yeah, maybe we get reinvested in the Major League Wrestling.
That's why my Impact reviews are usually pretty good, because they have enough good and enough bad for me to have fun either way. Like, I'm either getting angry about something or I'm getting happy about something. But yeah,
it's been Impact for a long time.
Yeah. Transferring Heat says it's Jey Uso versus Punk at Saturday night's main event. So there you go for the world title. So probably old Saudi Phil, new champion.
Probably.
All right. Last but not least, WWE clarifies their role in using AI with their creative process. So Dave had a story that they had brought in some guy named Cyrus Kausari, who focuses on AI strategy. And at one point he had developed a storyline for Bobby Lashley where he returns and he just really likes Japanese wrestling. And like, that's his whole new gimmick. That's what the AI bot came up with. But WWE said that they're not replacing their creative team with AI, that they're just using it for other things like continuity, storyline, and stuff like that, which I think would be a good tool if you were to pop in like a format for a show and say, hey, like what's all the repeat stuff? Like, give me, you know, dead time, this and that. Like, the AI would work well for that. But if you're having AI generate your storylines, like I guess they couldn't do worse, but like, that would be pretty weak.
Dave's story was so specific
that
I have a hunch either it's 100% accurate, like, well, they did bring this guy in, or someone was completely feeding Dave bullshit, right?
So Sean Ross Sapp, like people say he debunked the story, but he basically confirmed it, because if you read what Dave wrote, Dave did not say that AI is booking Raw now, and that's what everybody took. Like, they're testing it out, and that was a storyline that had popped out. But he said that they're using AI in their creative process now, which hey, that can mean a lot of things. And then Sapp said that talked to a wrestler, not a creative team member, and kind of confirmed it, but said that it wasn't like replacing the creative team. Like, it's not pitching storyline ideas, nothing like that.
I mean, honestly, a wrestler would be the last person I would talk to on all these things, because like, they're the ones kept in the dark the most. Like, we always think, well, that person was there. But oftentimes when you're there, you don't hear the things that are going around you. You're so focused on you that a lot of stuff is it kind of flies over your head. Like, I mean, we both worked in places and you hear about that fucking happened at work. I had no idea. Like, that's why I don't know if people who actually are working, like, not in a creative role are the best people to talk to on these things. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that there's – do I – would it surprise me they were using creative or AI to do something? No, it seems to be right in the line of what they do right now. Yeah. Right? And everybody's bringing in AI strategists.
Yeah.
Right? AI has become a toxic problem that you and I are very bad at fighting against. Yeah. So, terrible.
They're incorporating it into my work. Like, you were using AI now. I have yet to do it. I haven't had a reason to, but there's probably going to come a time where I'm going to upload some type of document and have it summarize it for me, and then I can use that going forward. I mean, that's just the wave of the future, I guess.
I mean, it's not even the wave of the future. It's just where we're at right now. It's figuring out the role that AI plays. I teach Photoshop, right? So I have to teach generative fill in Photoshop. I have to teach the AI protocols in Photoshop and Illustrator because it's part of graphic design and where it's headed. Like, nobody knows where it's headed after that because it's still so new. But I mean, like, I would be, and then every year I've got a kid saying, I refuse to do this assignment. And I'm like, that's cool, man. I'm glad that you have principles. I used to have principles too. Zero. So like, it's a tech point. I think it doesn't matter that much. But like, and I respect it. I respect every kid I've had to fail on that project for standing for something. And
can I tell you a quick story?
Sure, please.
So I hated science class, not because I wasn't interested. I just was terrible at it, right? And me and a few of the other guys, this was in Missouri, we decided to stand up against science class for religious reasons and just answer that God was in charge of everything. And they told us the same thing you told your student. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. F. That our stand lasted one assignment.
That's how it goes. Yeah. I had one student who was like, I refuse to do this. And I'm like, no, like a couple years, I'm like, no problem. I totally get it. And she got mad at me. I'm like, if someone tells me they're not going to do the Lego guy project because it's against their beliefs to play Legos, what would I do? She goes, you would fail them. I said, yeah. It's a 10-point project. Don't lose sleep over it. Take the F.
Yeah. Like, AI is here and it's not going anywhere. You might as well figure it out.
No, we have to. And that's the thing, too. I'm a firm believer that we have to play with it. So we figure out how to try to rein it in, as opposed to letting like the wrong people do too much. And I think, and I quite frankly, any dipshit that's, you know, talking to triple dip fuck and wants to like use AI to book his show, probably more creative than him, actually. So like, it wouldn't surprise. None of this stuff surprises me in the slightest.
No. But hey, guys, that's going to do it for us this week on the Mike and JD Show. I'll be back on Thursday night. JD, there's no TNA this week. So I have decided that I am going to kind of copy Brian and Vinny, who are doing 20 years ago this week on Impact. I'm going to review Bound for Glory from 20 years ago. 2005 Bound for Glory.
So 2005 Bound for Glory. What is the main event of 2005 Bound for Glory? Would that be Joe? And I don't know.
No, Joe's in the opener against Jushin Thunder Liger, I believe.
Oh, that sounds. Yeah. Is that any good? That sounds like it should be great, but I don't know.
I'm going to watch it. I have not seen it in 20 years. I don't really remember it. So, but I think the main event might have been, it's probably Jarrett and Sting, probably, is what I would think.
Or Christian Cage. And
Christian Cage, like maybe. Okay. Cage came in 2005, right? That's when he went. Yeah. So I have not watched it in 20 years. So I'm going to watch it and I'm going to review it. So I'll do instead of like my normal Impact review, I'm going to review Bound for Glory as if I, and it's going to be fresh to me because I haven't seen any of this in forever. So
that's pretty cool. Should be fun.
Yeah. So I'll be doing that on Thursday night, 10 PM Eastern Standard Time over on Patreon. But all right, guys, that's going to do it for us. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click. So I hope you watch your A-game. Made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click. So I hope you watch your A-game. Made no rain from
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.